This evening we'll look at Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. If you would turn there with me. In Judges 16, we'll read the entirety of the chapter through verse 31. In Judges 16, where we see the end of the account of Samson. This is the word of our God. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. And when it was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And they kept silent all night, saying, let us wait until the morning light, then we will kill him. Now Samson lay until midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts and pulled them up along with the bars. Then he put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the mountain which is opposite Hebron. After this it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and see where his great strength lies and how we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you. Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh cords that have not been dried, then I will become weak and be like any other man. And the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh cords that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in wait in an inner room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the cords as a string of toe snaps, which it touches when it touches fire, so his strength was not discovered. And Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have now deceived me and told me lies. Now please tell me how you may be bound. He said to her, if they bind me tightly with new ropes, which have not been used, then I will become weak and be like any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. For the men were lying in wait in the inner room, but he snapped the ropes from his arms like a thread. And Delilah said to Samson, up to now you have deceived me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my hair with a web and fasten it with a pin, then I will become weak and be like any other man. So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his hair and wove them into the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin of the loom in the web. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength is. It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, a razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. And Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart. She sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands, and she made him sleep on her knees and called for a man to had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, if I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with the bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country who has slain many of us. It so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, call for Samson that he may amuse us. So they called for Samson from the prison and he entertained them. And they made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests that I may lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and about 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was amusing them. And Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, and the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, brought him up, buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah his father. Thus he had judged Israel 20 years. And that is the word of God. Now you remember at the end of chapter 15, verse 20, the very last words it says, so he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the wilderness. Somehow, in some sense, telling you this is where he stopped being a judge for Israel. Even though it even says that at the very end of chapter 16, that would be a summary of his life. But here at the end of chapter 15, he's no longer serving as a judge. You see, here there's the Spirit of the Lord does not come upon him at all. It's already come upon him three times in chapters 14 and 15. And we compare that with all the other judges who, if they received that strengthening of the Spirit, they only received it one time in their life, each one. But here, Samson has received that strengthening of the Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord coming down upon him three times. And so Samson, in some sense, has a special emphasis as it has to do with the Spirit of the Lord coming down upon him and strengthening him. And so as chapters 14 and 15 close with Samson's dependence upon Yahweh, his judging is over, his delivering of Israel is over, chapter 16 through verse 21 shows us a different side, because the Spirit of the Lord does not come upon him here. And here we see Samson's self-dependence, and we see that he is deserted by the Lord, verse 20. Chapter 16 is a picture of Samson without the Spirit of Yahweh. He seemed like a mighty man, and yet he drifts away. He's like an adulterous woman in Proverbs, except for, you know, he's that adulterous person. He's the one who goes into the harlot, and he's the one who goes into Delilah. He has, you know, many women. Proverbs 3 or 2, I forget what it is, but it talks about that adulterous woman of Proverbs bringing disgrace to the name of the Lord. He forsakes the companion of his youth, forgets the covenant of the Lord. That's kind of what happens here. He expects always, Samson does, to be strong, and so he goes and lives however he likes. And this assumes his strength will always be there. He's with a woman, and men come up to get him, but he escapes to go to another woman, Delilah, and she tempts him to get that secret of his strength. What is the secret of his strength? In reality, though, she's not. She's tempting him to betray his covenant relationship with the Lord, not just to try to get the secret of the hair. We too are put in situations where we are tempted every week to betray our relationship with our covenant relationship with the Lord. To be tempted to sin, even what seemed like trivial moments. You see here that the hair of Samson, we should know this, the hair is not what brings him strength. Hair never brings strength. But it's the strength that comes from the Lord that brings strength. Yahweh is the one who brings strength. But Samson's vow, the commitment to the Lord, is shown to us through the hair. That's the relationship that's on the line in some sense, that covenant relationship, the vow he makes. the Nazarite vow. The hair here is a picture to us that reveals a long-developed, you think of how long it takes to grow hair, and it seems like his hair is very long and take, you know, years to grow his hair all of his life. And so it reveals a long-developed and persistent commitment to God. He has never cut it. He has always kept his vow in this regard. And so all Samson has to do is stumble one little time, cut his hair, and great consequences come. And here you see it. The commitment of God was broken. The Lord departed from him. He didn't know it. But great consequences. Samson is taken by the Philistines. His eyes are gouged out. And so it's with us. The Lord desires us to have that long-developed, persistent commitment to him. That's what he desires. And we can be like Samson. We can, one little step and we can fall. And great consequences can come. Or even, most of the time, little consequences that mess up, our daily lives with the Lord. When we fall, it doesn't always lead to grave consequences like it does Samson, but it shows how grave a thing it is to betray the Lord, to sin against the Almighty God. The good thing here is that his hair grows back. God's grace in great failures is seen through that. He does gently bear our infirmities and in our walking with him. And so in the end, what did Samson look like? Well, he didn't look very pretty. He had his eyes gouged out. He didn't have any hair. But when he finally realizes that the strength is not based in his hair, it's based in the Lord. He calls upon the Lord, calls upon Yahweh, pleads to serve him in his death. And the Lord strengthened him. When we are tempted to betray the Lord, let us trust in the strength of the Lord, Yahweh. Not ourselves, not in our plan, like we learned this morning, not in our plan or anything like that, but in his word, not our own words. When we fall, let us remember his grace and mercy, as it's shown here. Call upon him and for strength and forgiveness of our sins. Here we see that it's not the hair that is Samson's strength, but it's the Lord. The Lord, at first we saw in chapters 14 and 15, who sent the Spirit to strengthen him. And then here at the end, the Lord who did strengthen him outside of, it doesn't say the Spirit of the Lord, but he strengthened him nonetheless. And so let us find our strength in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as we think of Samson, we know that he was he served in office in some sorts. He was a judge. We learn here that his judging was over. That you were not going to give him the Spirit to strengthen him to serve against the enemies of Israel any longer and in a formal manner. And so we do pray. We think of the offices that are over us, our elders and deacons and even our governing authorities in the city, country, county, state, country, the whole thing. Lord, we pray for our governing authorities that you would save them, that you would show them and show us as elders and deacons and even members of this church that strength does not come from our own plans, our politics, or the way we can orchestrate something and get people on our side. It doesn't matter about that. The strength comes from you. Father, we pray that you would, as you are the God who ordains people to their office, we pray that we would take comfort in that, even in those representatives of us who serve now in all areas governing us. And that even as we think of our families, you have ordained our parents to be who they are. And we thank you for them. And we pray that you would work in them to lead us and work in our governing authorities to lead us, that we would live peaceable lives and tranquil lives to glorify you. And Father, as we think of Samson and chapter 16, we pray that when we are tempted to betray you and tempted to betray that relationship we have with you, that we would not fall into that sin. that we would not give in so easily, even when perhaps it is like Job's wife or even like Delilah here, who continues to bring that same request. And here for Samson, it became annoying to his soul and that he gave in finally. Lord, when we are tempted to betray any of us, the relationship we have with you, even when it comes and it starts to annoy us or to where we are tempted even to give in finally, let us not do so. Let us be strengthened by you that we would not turn and sin and betray you. Father, but that you would strengthen us, that you would show us, even when we do fall, even when we do sin, that you are the God who forgives us of our sin, who cleanses us as far as the east is from the west. And Father, we do pray that you would guide us. Guide us in all matters of life, even when we are in that valley of the shadow of death and we are fearing your judgments because of our sin. Father, strengthen us. Show your mercy and grace and bring us up out of that pit and set us upon Mount Zion, of which you already have done in Christ through salvation. We thank you that he is our Redeemer, that he has redeemed us, but you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. As we're going to learn, we have that seal of the Spirit upon us, that guarantee. And so we do pray that you would comfort us in our theology, in our doctrine, even this evening. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.